The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is December 10th, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Don't forget, Dr. Wong now, starting in February, will be on here every other month, twice a month. How's that sound? Everybody wanted this. He'll be on his once a month, obviously, in January, but every other he's on twice a month. We've just been getting, it's wall to wall, Dr. Wong. Well, he couldn't be happier, so he'll be on. He also is sponsoring me for Iceland. Don't forget, too, we've got SoarinX.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Bert is on here every month. They also are sponsoring me for Iceland. They sent me a diamond bar. His dad, we're trying to negotiate something where he'll either be on every month or every other. Brooks Kubik starts back with us tomorrow. He's back after about a six-month hiatus. So between Richard Soren, Brooks Kubik, Bill Hinburn, John McKean, we got the best of the old school. The guys you heard, we've got a great guy coming up with us right now. Carmen will be on momentarily me after I read through everything. But we've got old school here everywhere. We've got Highland Games. We've got stone lifters. We've got everything you want to talk about with a mental end of life. I couldn't be happier. We got a little bit of boxing here. We've just done one with kettlebells. You name it. We got it. And we're going to have more and more for you. So keep your eyes open and your ears tuned up. So go out to SoarinX.com. Also, HeartsCollision.com. This is for New York State residents. Obviously, Lori and Alex, I'm training their 14-year-old son, Alex, next weekend, 300-pound deadlift, man. That's a kid that never touched a bar 20-plus weeks ago, and he's put 12 pounds on, and I couldn't be more excited for him. It's a beautiful thing to be able to help somebody out, but especially a kid where you get a shot to give a little shape to their mind and how they act out in public. This kid is going to do some big things, I guarantee you. Also, on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's a free ebook. You can download that. 10 simple paragraphs, clear and concise, right to the point. Here's what you got to do. You got to read it, commit, take action. I guarantee you, you will change how you think and do things in your life. FiorelloBarbellCo.com for that. Two packages that we are in the process of launching right now, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Strength Times Power Equals Success is all shot in HD, and I narrate it, and Dennis does all the exercises. This was the stuff that we implemented when I knocked 43 pounds off him in 6 months. So check that out at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. There's a lot of video out there that I did where I record and I talk to everybody, so you get a little bit about me, and I introduce myself to a lot of the audience. Also, the Winner's Circle, 27 to 34 minutes of audio. That traces from my beginnings through the middles, through the ends. There's going to be a lot more. I'm working on some more recordings right now on that are going to be really mind-blowing. So both of these packages are life-changing. Go out and give it a shot. Take a look at them. Give me a holler. I'll work with anybody. Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Also, too, big time now for December and January for sponsorship. Right now, we dropped it from $500 to $100 per month. You can come on a show that does 5 to 15 podcasts a week, and we are growing like crazy. I used to say we'll be a million strong. We're going to be 10 million strong as far as I'm concerned. Get on board. Let's work together. Remember this, $30 goes to muscular dystrophy. That's what FBC and M&M is dedicated to in the memory of my brother Jimmy, who died of muscular dystrophy, and that's what happened. He got a common cold, which ended up turning into pneumonia, and we lost him. And this is a big tragedy with these kids. So out of the 100, 30 is going to go, and I want to build big, big relationships with everybody out there so we can all work together. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com or MotivationMuscle.com and fill out the form. Come on aboard. Be part of my family. As the Italians say, our family. That's it. Chris Bigelow does everything here, MonsterDevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. Well, we've had this gentleman on, I believe, two previous times, and we have Carmen Caputo with us today, who to me is, when I talked about old school, the people that you really want representing weightlifting that got some class and have done some big things. I want to give everybody a little background about Carmen, and obviously we'll bring him in. He's a U.S. Marine veteran. He's a retired school teacher. He's been weightlifting for over 55 years, right? And the thing that I thought was really cool about him when I first talked to him was he trains his students, former students. And on our last show, his former students now are bringing their kids in, which so now he's doing multiple generations. You gotta love it, man. I mean, it is awesome. But before we bring Carmen in, we're gonna start off. Carmen turned 70 in September, and he did a big meet in November, and he's met all his goals, and he's gonna get into that. But I do know, if I recall, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, I do believe he deadlifted 455 on his 70th birthday, but if I'm wrong, he can correct me. Carmen, welcome to Motivation Muscle, sir.
Thank you very much. As always, it's good to talk to you, and I appreciate the lead-in. I don't know if I'm can meet all the standards you just set for me, but I'll try.
You will.
I'll try.
So give everybody a little bio on yourself. Anybody that hasn't heard of you here, okay. let's introduce you to everybody.
Well, as you said, I was born 70 years ago. My father was in the American Army serving in Britain. And he met a British lady, and they got married, and I was born over there. And he was from upstate New York. When the war ended, you know, they came back to this country, and I was raised in central New York. Mm-hmm. I live in Oklahoma now, but when I graduated high school at 17 years old, I joined the Marine Corps and spent some time overseas and some time in North Carolina and South Carolina. And when I got discharged, I moved here in Oklahoma where my parents were living at the time. And they're both gone now, but I'm still here. I met and married a really sweet young Oklahoma lady. Yep. And, you know, like we were talking in the warm-up before we got on the air, you surround yourself with good people, then good things are going to happen. And I was very fortunate to find a really good lady who has encouraged me and supported me and lets me know when I'm screwing off and not working hard enough. And you got to, you know, she's a tough coach. She's a tough coach.
Yep.
And, you know, as you said earlier, too, I taught school for 30 years. I taught sixth grade.
Yep.
And during that time, you know, you come across a lot of kids. And when they would move on into seventh grade and high school, some of them would come back and say, can you help me get stronger and bigger for football or basketball or whatever? And I'd bring them by the house and we'd train. Now I've got them. Some of them are, my first class is in their mid-50s now, you know, and it's crazy.
It is.
But that happens. And so, you know, they've contacted me over Facebook and so forth, and they said, you know, are you still lifting? And I said, sure. And so they came by, and now, like, I've got two former students who are training with me 3 or 4 days a week, and three children of former students who are training with me now. You know, one lady who was in my class the year my wife and I were dating has brought her 14-year-old daughter in. You saw some video of her.
Yes, yep.
And
yep.
She's 90 pounds, and she pulled 120 at this meet we did in November. And I am just so tickled because she looks like a strong wind would just take her to the next county, you know. That little girl is tough.
Yeah.
She does not back off a workout. She just asks for more, and you have to respect that, you know.
Absolutely.
It's just awesome to see. And the thing about it is, too, as you mentioned earlier, as a teacher, you just love to see your pupils succeed. And with this activity, with training, lifting, whatever, you see the results immediately. You know, school teaching, you see the results down the road. You know,
yep.
It's not an instant thing, but with this lifting thing, You know, in fact, they're going to come this evening to train a little bit, and then Saturday we all deadlift on Saturdays. And like you said, I'm Italian. Mm-hmm. It's family. The group that I have is family. They know that. I know it. And I told them, I said, I would not mind. I would take any of you into combat with me because we could do the job. These are quality people. They're focused. They're dedicated. And to succeed at anything, especially powerlifting or stone lifting or strongman or Highland Games, you've got to have a plan. You have to work the plan, and you will see the results. And you have to commit to the fact this is not a 50-yard dash. This is a marathon. It takes time. Just like you getting ready to go to Iceland. You know, you've got your program. You're working it. If you go too soon, it's not going to happen. You have to work the plan.
Well, and that will segue beautifully right into, you were in a meet in November, and we didn't, before he came on, Carmen just told me that I don't know what he did, what he hasn't done, but this is beautiful because obviously he's going to be able to give us what he had to do to accomplish his goals. So, Carmen, first of all, what was this meet you went into? Okay. And, you know, we'll just keep going from there, and then you can tell me, you know, what you were working on to get ready for this. But what was it that you would – I take it was probably a master's meet. Yeah, is that
well,
what it was?
Well, it was an open meet, and okay. Ricky Crane, who's a multi-time world champion in powerlifting and is in the York Barbell Hall of Fame, lives in Shawnee, Oklahoma, which is about 30 miles from where I live, and he puts meets on about three times a year. And this meet had 47 lifters in it, and I brought 14 people with me, the crew that trained with me. And I had told myself when I turned 65, I said, I want to do a full meet when I'm 70.
Cool.
And squats kill me anymore. You know, as you get older, your flexibility in your hips is a memory. And so the practice and the training for this was horrible. But I set a goal. I wanted to squat at least 315. Mm-hmm. And I did. I weighed 211 at the meet, and I squatted 315. I made all three of my squats, got all white lights. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bench at least 250, and I benched 280.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's probably my son handed out to me, and I think, you know, when you're lifting with your kid, you're going to friggin' die before you before you miss, you know.
Absolutely.
That's just the way it is.
No, you're right.
And we got to the deadlifts, and we were 7:30 at night, and I know this sounds like an excuse. I wound up pulling 425. I had planned on 450 because I had pulled 455 on my birthday in September.
Yep.
And I thought I've got this locked, but I just ran out of steam, you know. Mm-hmm. So I still totaled over 1,000, which I thought, for me, that's pretty salty. And they were all state records, you know, for Oklahoma in the 70 to 74 bracket. And so I was very fortunate. But I have got the best group of people, men and women, training with me, and they keep me on task. They push me, and I push them. You know, they keep telling me, we couldn't do this without you, and I said, yeah, you could. I've just showed you how to do it. You're the one that's putting hand on bar, foot to ground, back to the bar, and just doing it, you know, and it works. And I think, now you've probably heard people say, doing deadlifts are a psych lift. You've got to have people hollering at you. And, and Saturdays here, I'm surprised we haven't gotten raided by the cops because it gets loud and it gets rowdy. But
I have.
Everybody makes the lifts, you know?
Yep.
Because as I told you, especially if your blood family is there with you, I'm going to die before I miss a lift. You know, that's just the way it is. And some of these kids they've survived sixth grade with me 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, and now they're back, and I'm not going to quit in front of them either, you know, because they look up to me. And I may sound corny, but that's just the way it is, you know.
Oh, it's not corny, Carmen. I'll tell you right now, with Alex here, because I just right now I haven't been taking many people on. I just don't have the time with everything going on. And when I'm out there, I'm not in here where I've got to be doing all the things to promote the business.
Right.
But I will tell you this, and I'm sure you've noticed this with the younger kids too, and the older ones too. You've known them for years. You know somebody for like 40 years. You know them. But I will say this. You know, I love people saying like, well, you know, I've had people say, you know, lifting with kids, training kids is a pain in the ass. I said, You get to make the choice if they stay or go number one. But I'll tell you, with this kid, and I know, and I'll see what you say when I go back, but I'm sure you've experienced this, and it's a great experience. That kid's done wonders for me, and I'll tell you why. I see things through his eyes. Not that I'm, like, ancient to him either, but my point is this. It's nice to see that glow in somebody that's done something for the first time and been successful with it. And that makes me feel good in a way that I approach my lifting even in a harder fashion, so to speak, where I'm like, you know, like, I understand that whole concept you're saying. You don't want to fail in front of your kids. You don't want to fail in front of your students, even though they're not your – they are still your students, technically. And it's like, you know, I understand that responsibility, man. It's like, you know, it's these standards that nobody wants anymore. It's like, you know, if I miss it, it's no big deal. I'll get it next time. Let me tell you something. You make a pattern of that. You and I both know where you're going with that, okay?
Sure.
And what I'm – Carmen, I'm having problems right now where I'm having a lot of problems with people is this. You know, the business is – I feel at that point now we're ready to turn the corner, and I've worked my butt off. Hard. And I'll have a lot of people say to me, oh, you know, you ought to take it easy, take a vacation and you know, lighten up and all this, or, you know, how come you haven't made this by now and you've got this they're saying and that and they're saying. And I just like look at them. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a vacation when this place is like turning the earth upside down right now. I need to be here right now, no matter what it's doing to me. And this is what it is when you want to be a great lifter. A great entrepreneur, a great dad, all these things, man, this is the sacrifice you decide to make. And if you can't do it, I tell people, get the hell out of my way. And I've made enemies. I've lost family. I've lost friends. And you know what? And this will sound cold. I don't give a damn anymore.
Well, the thing is, though, if those people cut and run, they are not friends. They are not family, because friends and family will stick through you through thick and thin. And,
absolutely.
And that's, I learned that lesson 40 years ago. You know, I mean, one advantage to living a long time is that you learn from mistakes and you do figure out quickly who's legit and who's just a sycophant, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I've definitely been fortunate to, got a facility here at my home, and so that everybody comes here, and having your own place gives you the option, okay, you're welcome, you can pack your bag and hit the road.
Absolutely.
I only want people who are going to focus, absolutely, who are going to support and each other and do what we need to do to accomplish our goals. You know, I had 14 people with me. We had range in age from 14, this young girl, all the way up to 70, which was me, and males and females. And we won the team trophy, and that just tickled me to death. I told my wife, I said, you know, this was a goal. I had goals for myself individually, but all these people that lifted with me, we had set goals in our training, and every one of them met their goal, every one of them.
And that's incredible, because that's all trickling down from you, because let's face it, you know, they're following. Look, you know what, Carmen, here's something, and I want to get your reaction to it. We've done a number of shows lately about this, and I think I've probably told you. If not, I don't have any children of my own, but I'm very close. You know, I have nieces and nephews that range from 13 to 5, okay? Four of them are girls, too, and I love them to death. And I was saying to some of the my guests on the show was this. Somebody's always watching you.
Exactly.
And they're like, what? I'm like, someone is always watching you. When I'm around those children, I you know, because I can swear like a drunken soldier, you know, a drunken whatever, you know, around. I can be the guy's guy with every. That's not a problem. But it's really funny how very careful I am what I say. And I'm not a drinker, but you know, at Christmas I'll have a bourbon or two. We might even have a cigar. That'll be once a year. I don't smoke or anything either. But I don't care, because I'm not going to deny myself those things if I want to do that, because that makes you a nutbag. But getting back to the kids, obviously I've slipped a few times and you know, blah, blah, blah. But you lead by example, and I, especially the little females there, I want them, because all their uncles have all played sports, you know, whether it's weightlifting, football, martial arts, the whole deal. Everybody in the male side is very, very physical, and they still are. And it's definitely rubbed off on them because they're getting more and more into sports, and they're doing very, very well. And but the point of the matter is this. You're being watched. I have a business now. I've got to be kind of careful who I'm mixing with and going out with and doing things, because one wrong move, as I said to you before, you know, as my father always said, you know, never bring shame to your name. You do that, that can destroy your livelihood forever. So go ahead. So go ahead.
One wrong move and all that hard work is gone.
Yep.
It doesn't take but one an eye blink, you know. And one thing the Marine Corps taught me is that you lead from the front. And I've had these people over the years tell me, they said, you know, you work harder than we do. And I said, well, how can I expect you to do something if you don't see me trying as hard as I can do?
I agree.
I mean, what kind of example is that? If I say, okay, get over here and do this, and I'm sitting over here drinking a beer while you're doing it, that's not cool, you know?
No, not at
if
all.
If I'm expecting my people to work hard, then I better step up in total line too.
Without it, and it's just so important. And I think nowadays, I mean, obviously, I only take so much out of what's going on in the world, obviously. But you know, I've said this a million times, Carmen. It's this: with all the crap that's around, okay, there's two things I believe that can pretty much save your life. And it's no guarantee, but if you build yourself mentally very strong and you're very physically strong. Unless, obviously, you know, if you got shot, or I got it, okay? Yeah. But the chance of you living are going to be much better unless it's a heart shot or to the head. But what I'm saying is if you're confronted, if you are strong mentally and strong physically, usually you can take care of yourself and rectify everything, because we are living in a time now that I'm not real fond of. In some ways, it's a great time to live with everything out there, but there's just an awful lot of garbage going around. And, you know, I think you and I have gotten into this a little bit before. You know, adults are messed up enough now, but you think of the shit these kids are dealing with every day.
I don't deal with it, man, because
I don't either.
You know, you've got young people who are old streetwise, but physically and chronologically, they're not really old enough to process this junk, you know, and they need positive people in their lives to help set them straight and tell them, okay, think about what you're doing, because it may be fun now, but later down the road, you're going to pay if you screw up. You know, how many times have you seen it right now? I mean, I'm a big college football fan.
Oh yeah.
And so many of these clowns that are, they've got scholarships, they've got the world in front of them, they go out and hold up a store or they steal eggs from a grocery. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Who does that?
Well, I think you know what I think a lot of it is? I mean, you and I both know a lot of these institutions pay people off and they cover up. But you know what it is, I think now? There's no shame in the world anymore. At one time, I'll use the word standard, and not everywhere is like this, okay? But the majority of things now is like, I hear people say it to me, like, oh, it's raining out. What the hell are you going to go out and lift for? You know, when we, the first week out, walking the stones, it was raining pretty hard out. And when we initially start, because of the hammering the lower back takes, I always pull them off a barrel or something lower than that, because I don't want to be hammering my lower back yet. We still got about 7 months out. And so when we're coming down at full throttle, someone's on the other side of the barrel, and usually the thing's so big, it's very hard to see over. So they're going to be holding it tight, and you're going to feel your thighs hit the barrel, and you're going to know to stop, or they're going to say, yell out, you're there, you know, put it down. Well, that damn barrel is like, it's like a piece of ice, even when it rains, you're trying to put that thing down, all right? And the point of the matter is this, you know, well, why are you going out and doing it? Why are you going back there after you had an injury? Why? And I look at him, I'm like, why the hell are you here?
That's right.
I mean, you know, why do you get out of bed in the morning? Why do you do the things you do? This is what I love to do. And if you understood the complexity of this stuff, you know, everybody, not everybody, but the majority of people say, oh, just going to go out and lift a stone. Oh, just going to go do a deadlift. Oh, that's no, it's more. You just heard Carmen say he had these goals, man. years ago. All right. Yeah. He fulfilled every goal. All right. To do these things, this is dress rehearsal every day. Every day of your life, man, you're thinking about it. You're rehearsing it in your mind, whether you're seeing it visually or you're saying something first thing in the morning. Here's something I didn't know, and I read this recently, that the first 15 minutes in the morning, what you're listening to is going to set your whole day. Okay? That is very, very important. If you're out playing with porn or video games or all this shit they're talking about now, whether adults or kids are doing now, why do you think you're so mentally beaten and weak? All right? This is not the way to live. Obviously, I believe in choice. I'm a big believer. You know, that's one of the things I love about when you do well with your business and you have the currency to do things. It lends to the freedom of say, hey, you know what? Maybe I don't want to be here anymore. Maybe I want to go move in a mining town in Colorado and build a log cabin and I can do it. All right? This is what I'm all about. This is what we're all about here. And I think in today's world, the way it is, if you're not strong physically and mentally, you're in big trouble. Because no matter what you do, I was out in the business world forever until 2 3/4 years ago. I mean, now I'm in my own business world. Yeah, I made good money, but I did not like it because of the atmosphere around me. If it wasn't a complaint about the place, it was a complaint about the boss. If it wasn't a girl or a guy coming in saying, you know, their kids were shitheads, their wife they couldn't stand, I just couldn't stand that anymore.
It was like negativity.
All negativity, Carmen. That
really rubs off on you. You know, you talked about the being strong physically and being strong mentally. That goes back to our ancient ancestors in the Mediterranean, Eric.
Yep,
you know, the Greeks and Romans started all that with a strong mind and a strong body. And, you know, it's a balance thing. You can't have all of one and none of the other. You know, you can't be a physical brute and be a dumbass. You can't be a genius and be a toothpick. You know, you've got to balance it out. And I think if you work at that, both sides improve. You get stronger mentally and you get stronger physically, because if you're approaching, in your case, a heavy stone, or in my case, a deadlift or a bench press, if you go in there with the slightest doubt, you're toast.
Absolutely.
You know, you have got to believe. I tell my people, I said, when you step on that platform, you have to believe. Now, this goes back to my childhood, because I watch a lot of Westerns on TV. But
yeah.
You have to believe you're the fastest gun in town. You know, if you're not, you're going to get shot. Just plain and simple. You have got to believe that you can do this. And that's why we practice the way we do. And, you know, my son was a musician in high school and in college. And I told him, I said, you don't practice until you learn how to do it right. Learn how to do it right. That's when the practice starts. Because if you're screwing around, you're learning bad habits and you're wasting your time. Learn the process correctly. That's when the practice begins, and then you just beat it to death until you can do it in your sleep. You know, when I was in the Corps, I carried a 45. I was a machine gunner, and my sidearm was a Colt 45 semi-automatic pistol. And we had to learn to tear that thing down blindfolded and put it back together, because you never know the situation you're going to find yourself in. And at first you think this is impossible, but you learn how to do it, and then you practice it, and I could do it in 30 seconds. You know, it's just it's crazy what you are capable of doing once you set your mind to it and you devise a plan. And the key to all of this stuff, whether it's stones, throwing cabers, lifting weight, whatever, you've got to have a plan. You work that plan religiously and consistently, and along in that plan is eating right and getting the right amount of rest and removing negativity from your life. And the only thing that's going to stop you is when your heart stops, you know. And I mean, and I truly believe that with all my heart and soul. I set a plan, like I said, 5 years ago to do this meet, and I did meets in between. And the thing is, as you get older, masters lifters, you get older, you see changes and you feel changes, but your mind is telling you you can still do this. And your body is saying, you know what, you old fart, you might want to step back and readjust this a little bit.
Exactly, a little bit,
It does work. I mean, obviously I can't. When I was 53, I deadlifted 600 pounds. I have there's that's a dream that's a in the past, you know, but I can still crack in the mid fours, which at 70 I'm pretty I feel good about that, you know. And but you just have to train smart, you have to train regularly, and you have to eliminate negative people with you. That's one thing I have. I've got the best training mates around because they don't let me slack off. We have fun. And you mentioned this earlier, working with young people, it keeps you young at heart.
Yep.
And so you're excited to see them. They're excited to be here. And before you know it, the room is electric and everybody's lifting way beyond their means. And at the end of it, we're dragging our cans out of the gym and everybody says, how did we do that? And I said, well, you helped me more than I help you. You know, I've got obviously people in here young enough to be my grandchildren, yet
sure.
They're pushing me and it's cool, you know. I mean,
yep.
It's, you know, you step up to that bar and they say, okay, you're going to get this one, Gramps. And I say, I'll Gramps you, you know.
yep, absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, outsiders look at that and they say, that's crazy, but that's what it takes. That's what it takes.
Carmen, what do you think, though? I mean, we know the rash and negativity all over the place, but and we know the family unit's been broken down quite a bit, especially in the last 40 years. What is it, do you think, and we can even get into adults, too. What has it just become that all we care about is media now? Where have we broken down? You know, we know so much now about diet and sleep and recovery and you know, there's always something more and more written about how good weightlifting is, especially as you get older for bone density. Obviously, you want to build ligament and tendon strength. But the whole idea, it's the goals, the feeling, the euphoria. What's happened, do you think? Have we gotten too comfortable? Where have we made that wrong right turn?
I don't know. I think sometimes people set a goal that is not realistic. And they get discouraged. I also think there's a certain element in society that wants everything handed to them. They want to just show up and say, oh, yeah, you're cool. You dress sharp. You know, you do your hair right. You know, you wear the designer clothes. You're cool. So why should you have to exert anything, any effort to achieve? And those are the kind of people that I run away from because they bring negativity to you. They just want to lay around and say, oh, man, that, you know, that's not for me. And then, well, that's cool, but this is what I need to do. You know, when you need your luggage carried in the house because you're too damn weak to carry it from the car to the porch, who are you going to call? You're not going to call Ghostbusters, you know. You're going to call me, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
It's one of those things that it's just has creeped up in our culture. And I think part of it, too, is because, you know, that – generation that survived the Depression and fought World War II is dying out. And with them is dying that ethic that they had. You know, my grandparents, my father's parents came from Italy. Mm-hmm. They got here in the late 1800s, early 1900s, couldn't speak a word, but they established themselves, raised four kids who had kids of their own, and everybody was successful. You don't see that work ethic too much anymore as time passes. You know, I read something a while back that Robert Loggia, the actor, said.
Yep.
He said, my grandparents were Italians. My parents were Italian Americans.
Yeah.
I'm an American Italian, and my kids are Americans. You know, you see the process here. You see what's happening. And, you know, my kid is an American.
Yep.
You know? He was born here in Oklahoma. He was raised here. He's been around the country on various things, but he's an American. He's of Italian extraction, but he's an American. And I'm seeing myself in my computer screen, and I'm talking with my hands. How Italian can you get?
You got to yell more.
Yeah. I see the reflection in my hands, and I say, he can't see me. What am I doing that for?
But and that's, you know, something that's the beauty of, you know, a lot of my friends are Italian, that ethnicity. Yeah. And, you know, you go over to house. I mean, it's like they're your second family, you know, and you're going all over the place and their mother's hugging you or squeezing your damn cheek so hard you want to belt her, man. And there's always tons of food. I mean, my one buddy, Joey, all through college, his mother. Oh, my God, and father, too. She was – they were unbelievable. And I can remember, you know, it was like my refrigerator when my dad was alive. It was like you couldn't get another thing in it. And I think that all stemmed from I don't know how they grew up with that and all that, but my dad lost his mother at 9 years old, and he had sisters. So I am sure it was – he was from what we were always told, what he said, my grandfather said, he was he liked to get in a lot of mischief, put it that way. But, you know, when we go over Joe's, and that was like almost every day of the week, I mean, his mother used to make the best meatballs, and I'd always tell her. And in the cold weather, when it was really cold, when you walk, they owned the house. They had a first and second floor. You walk in through the back door all the time, and you go up about five stairs, and there would be always this big casserole dish, and I knew then she had made meatballs. And they'd always be there. Or, you know, you'd walk in, she'd have a couple apple, and, you know, when you're lifting and you got that stuff all over, you're eating everything alive. But
progress,
that whole thing with being Italian or whatever, you know, sect you are, you know, growing in an Italian family, like, we've lost a lot of my family, you know, to one thing or another. We still got a big family, but I miss the older people in a lot of ways. And not only the cooking, but it's just like you could ask them questions about
the history
people.
Of the family. That's right.
That's it. And I miss those things. And, you know, it's different. You know, that's all it is. It's great to be around. I love it. I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. I like to decorate the house, put the lights up. I got a tree yesterday. I'll put a tree up tomorrow, let it open up, all those things that go with it. But, you know, there's nothing like watching your grandmother out there where she could do a marathon cook of 24 hours straight, you know, and all the ants are there. And, you know, you got like Uncle Vinny and Uncle Tom and then, you know, Uncle Minnie or Aunt Minnie, they used to call her, and all these crazy ass nicknames. And I don't have it anymore. I miss it. I honest to God miss it, Carl.
And I think, and I agree with you 100%, because coming up, you know, my father's parents were alive, but his parents, my grandparents, they still had their parents around. So it was grandma and little grandma.
Yeah, is that cool?
You know what I'm saying? You know, and then my grandfather, we called him Gramps, but his father, we called him the old man.
Yeah, is that something?
You know, I mean, other groups don't grasp that. You know, my wife she's a typical American. She's part Indian, she's part French, she's part English. You know, she's a quilt. And that's what makes her cool. But I start talking about stuff, and she looks at me and says, "This is what you see in movies." And I said, "Well, I grew up with that, you know."
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But,
I mean,
you know, I think that touches, though, on what you said. We've lost that. And with that, that section of our culture, that fabric has been torn. And you don't see that closeness in the neighborhoods anymore. When I was a kid out screwing around in the street, if I did something wrong before I got home, the call had been made, and the old man was standing in the doorway strapped, you know? I mean, you don't see that anymore.
No. Now the poor guy would be brought up on child abuse and put away for 20 years.
I think we have gotten so many creature comforts that we have gotten soft. Not just in this country, though. I mean, I've been overseas, and I've seen it in other countries, too. The world, except, you know, the developed world, has gotten soft. They have they don't have to worry. They get up in the morning. They don't have to worry. Is there going to be food in the evening? You know, are we going to have clean water? Now, you go to other parts of the world where that's an issue, and those poor folks, it's a survival issue for them. We don't have to deal with that, thank goodness. And I think with that, you get a sense of complacency, which transfers over to what you and I do for recreation. And for me, it's a type of therapy, too, is train. If you don't go in with that right attitude, you're not going to have success.
And I think that's – go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I mean, I've been lifting since 1960. Okay.
Yeah.
And so it'll be 56 years this March. And,
unbelievable.
And it is. I can't believe that either. But – if I had just gone in with a lackadaisical attitude, I don't think I'd have lasted, to be honest.
No, you wouldn't be around. And I look at it the same way, you know. But you know what I think separates us from a lot of people, and I'm talking weights and stones and all that. We develop a whole, you know, you've been in the military. You know what that mindset is. And I've talked to a lot of people. You know, I know I have friends that are in or out or whatever. And, you know, in some, I know we're different in some ways, but the same in others, because you have to have the same amount of, like, gusto and focus, right, and drive and goal and all that. But the thing that I think separates us from, like, just the regular people, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but what I'm saying is 9-to-5ers and all that, we have a different view of life altogether. I mean, at least I do, okay?
Right.
I don't see many, many things the same as most people. Most people don't understand the drive and the discipline I have. And like you said, if you didn't have that, you wouldn't be talking to me right now, and I wouldn't be talking to you. We'd both be doing something else that we probably hated,
yeah,
and wish we went back to it. Regret is the worst thing you can have in your life, but I think the thing that we've established is this. We've built ourselves so mentally that, you know, for me, you know, like in the Marines, right, where you never leave one of your guys. You never leave them.
Right.
I'm the same way like that with training, man. It's like that loyalty has always carried over to me in all facets of my life. A lot of times I've become very disappointed because I didn't get the same thing. But then I say to myself and scratch my head and say, you know, as the Vikings would say, they're mere mortals and we're not.
Yes.
I mean, I know that, I know that sounds like whatever, but my point is this: we've worked our life in a whole different direction. We've, you know, you've gone and, you know, you were a teacher, I was a programmer. I've decided now to take this on full time and make a living with it. But the bottom line was, no matter what we did, lifting was always like the nucleus of our life.
Right.
You know, you're married, obviously your wife is number one important, but think about this, Carmen. And I think about it every day because I'm so thankful for it. If I lost this, I don't know what I would do. I don't know. I'd probably find a way to survive myself,
yeah,
but I think I would go into my final days.
You wouldn't be happy. You'd be miserable.
I'd die of a broken heart, I think, seriously.
Exactly. And I understand that totally. And I think, you know, you said something else about the Vikings and being mere mortals and stuff. I think people who have not gotten into an activity full bore like you and I have with lifting or career military, they don't quite understand that. They look at that as, what is wrong with you people?
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with us. We have just committed to a cause and have stayed the course. And, you know, that's what life is. You know, if you just say, oh, I don't want to do that today, then before you know it, you're not doing anything and you're going to die early. And what's the sense of that? You know, it just, we're here one time. Let's make the best of it. And I try to make as much of an impact on people as I can. And I've been so fortunate through teaching. And now with this, I can still teach these people that come out and train with me. And I've had some of them tell me, they said, you have really turned my life around. And I said, no, you're the one who's doing it. I'm just providing the room. I can bust chops with the best of them. You know, I was trained.
New York,
Marine Corps taught me, and I had Italian grandparents and all that.
Yep.
I can bust nuts, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
me too.
But, yeah.
I love
it. It goes with the turf. And so I just provide you're the one who's coming over here 3, 4, 5 days a week, dedicating that hour and a half every time you're here to making yourself better. I said, you could just as soon go home and eat popcorn and have a Pepsi, you know, but not. You're coming here. You're the champion. I'm just the guy who's providing the venue for you, and I'm happy that you tell me that, but you're the one that's putting in the work.
Well, you know what the nicest thing of the whole thing is this, too. I know, I'm sure you've dealt with this mentally many times. You know, there's times I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do this anymore. There was times that I'd get out there and I'd have the worst training session ever, and like there were times where I just shut the door and walked out and said, I'm done, screaming down the drive. I wouldn't even make it in my front door, and I'd be like, I'll be back now in 2 days.
Yeah, I mean,
but,
you know, you're cheating yourself. I feel like I'm cheating myself if I say that.
Exactly.
You put all this time and effort into it. You know, and I saw a thing a while back. It said, when you think about quitting, remember why you started.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, I could no more quit this than I could cut my right arm.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I don't have the guts to do it. That's what it is. You know,
when we dated for about a year before we got married, and of course she knew that I trained and everything, she would come and watch me and so on. And after we got married, you know, we've been married about a couple of years, I think, 2 or 3 years probably. And she I'd come in from, it was a Saturday, and I'd come in from doing deadlifts, and she was in the house getting some meal ready for us. And she said, you know, it finally hit me. And I said, what's that, kid? And she said, you do this for the challenge, for the physical benefit. She said, but I think it's therapy for you, too. And I said, you're damn right it is.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir. Yes, obviously. Look at, there's enough shit going on in the world right now. We know that, all right? And there's enough negativity around you. And how you doing today? Well, I don't know. And at that point, I said, well, I'll talk to you later because I don't want to hear that your knees hurt, that you had a headache, or your boyfriend punched you in the eye. I don't want to hear it, all right? Yeah. But ask somebody that. Or, you know, well, what are you going to do today? Well, you know, I might. And it's never anything definitive. And how do you think you're going to live your life if you can't even define where you're going to be maybe in an hour? Now, you don't have to go out and turn the world on its axis, but all right, well, what are you going to do? You're going to clean your house? What do you, I mean, what is it you want to do?
You have to have a plan.
Absolutely. They're walking around aimlessly. Look at, you know, it's really funny, and I don't want to give them any sponsorship because I don't really care for them, but take a walk through a Whole Foods someday.
Yeah.
I'm telling everybody in the audience, do it. Just look. Not only that, you know, I've asked people a questionnaire, and they look at you like you're the biggest piece of shit in the world.
Yep.
And you know, like, we know more than you, and I probably know more than anybody in that store combined, all right? And it's like, you ask questions. You want to hear something funny. I don't want I try not to get any soy in my diet knowingly, all right?
Right.
And I know that even grass-fed, believe it or not, if they finish off with some type of silage at the end, it could have soy corn or something
sure.
in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I pissed this guy off big time. There's probably five people there, so this is at Whole Foods. So I'm looking at the – I wanted to get a filet, and I said to him and this is what scares the shit out of him, so they'll answer you. I said, could you tell me, do you know if any soy was used with that meat? And he looks at me, and all these people just, like, stop. And I said, look, I can't eat soy. I'm allergic to it, and I could potentially die from it. Well, right away, they got this little chart thing, and they're looking through it. And yes, it does contain soy. I said, well, what doesn't? Grass-fed, grass-finished. I said, you sure of that? He goes, you can look right here. Now, this might sound little to people, but it's not. When you're paying $32 and change for a piece of meat that I could throw up in the air and catch in one shot and chew, you damn well better be a little more honest with me, all right?
Right.
And I don't want that. If I know it knowingly, I do not want that stuff going into my system, because that is a man killer for anybody that doesn't know out there, men and women. You don't want a lot of that. But the point of the matter is this. Through all the stuff we've done, through the knowledge, through the reading, through the, you know, the experience, nothing is ever going to explain away the experience you got. These are the questions you know to ask, because I'm telling you, people walking through places like that saying, wow, this place is all healthy no matter what. You know, if I pay, you know, $30 for a pound of bacon, I'll do it. It's ridiculous, all right? And these are the questions you need to ask. You need to take care of yourself mentally and physically and get tuned up all the time and go in and not be afraid. And this is what I think lifting does more than anything. And I've seen it firsthand with Alex, and I'm sure I've seen it, you've seen it with your pupils there. He came here, you could barely get a word out of him. He was very introverted, quiet, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I told you maybe if I didn't, I made him go out and get Think and Grow Rich right away. I said, I want you to read that from cover to cover and read it 100,000 more times before you leave the planet, all right? Well, obviously, it's rubbing off on him, because now, I make him describe what he's doing, you know, why he's doing
right.
it, because I'm preparing him for life, okay? Where if someone says, Alex, come up here and describe what you're doing, he's not going to turn into a wallflower and they're all going to laugh at him, all right? These are important things, and lifting, which I feel, besides having great parents and a loving home, has been the whole backbone of my life. And if I ever lost it, and people say, well, that's shallow and, you know, it could happen, there are no coulds like that in my life, okay? That isn't how I operate. I'm just telling you that I feel everything to where I am today, even speaking to you right now, It's all been because of that lifting dream.
Well, for me, when I started at 15,
yep,
it was a life-changing thing. I hated talking in front of crowds. I was very self-conscious. You know, you lift some stuff for a little while and you start thinking, hey, I can do this. I'm not the worthless thing I thought I was. And it builds that self-confidence. You know, this 14-year-old girl that's coming in with her mama to train with me. The first couple of times, she was like a little church mouse. And then people started talking with her and encouraging her. And now she busts balls with the best of them,
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking, this is cool because you're not only getting stronger physically, you're developing as socially as a human being.
Absolutely.
You can walk into a room and say, I can hold my own with anybody in here.
Yep.
And that's important.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, you got all varied age groups in there, and it's like most kids at that age, they're not going to feel comfortable around older adults.
Right.
Let's face it. And we live in a time now where speaking face to face with somebody is dying out big time. You know, if they don't have their head buried into some type of, iPhone, they've got an iPad or they've got the watch or whatever. And it's like people don't, and this is what I like about this show. We do everything we can to keep establishing contact with people. We want exchanges of ideas. How the hell do I know when you text me what you really mean?
Right.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but this was insane. Me and my buddy were out at my buddy's Italian restaurant one night, and there was a couple across from us, so we were just grabbing something quick. We just got out of work. This was probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And they got their phones on the table. And first of all, boy, if you ever put that on my table right now, I'd knock it right the hell off.
Yeah.
No phones on my table. None. You're going to eat and that's it, right?
Right.
So they are not saying a word to each other. And all they're doing is texting. And I'm saying to myself, I said to Dennis, I was like, do you think they're texting each other or are they texting other people? I'm watching.
They're texting each other.
That's what I'm figuring. And Carmen, they're sitting there and the food's cold.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is up with you?
That's right. Growing up in an Italian family, that letting food go to waste is a cardinal sin. You just don't do that, And touching on that, though, the biggest problem with Italian food, Eric?
What's that?
3 or 4 days later, you're hungry again.
And you know what I've got tonight? I go to a place here in Albany, and I hadn't been there in a long time, and I knew I was going to be running pretty late today. And I went to this place called Stella Marie's, they call it. It's next to another great place, Lombardo's.
Yeah.
I go to – and these are old Albany landmarks,
right.
old. Lombardo's looks like you walk into The Godfather 2, man,
right.
where Michael blew up McCluskey and Salazzo there.
Yeah.
But Stella's is like a big old-time market, and they do all their own food. They got a huge – oven in the back, and the mother cooks starting at like 4 a.m. It's all family. They just got back from Italy. They own an olive place, farm, whatever you want to call it. They pick olives for the whole month of November. He just got back. So I went down there today, and my grandfather always loved olio, as they call it. For anybody that doesn't know that, that's garlic and oil. Usually it could be over angel hair, whatever you want on it. It's usually a long macaroni. I don't call it pasta. I think that's a stupid-ass word. But that's just –
thank you.
And I don't call sauce. I call it gravy now because that's what my parents always called it and my grandfather. So gravy's a red sauce for anybody that doesn't know. So I go down there today, and the old guy, right, Italian, still got the accent. I love it. Only one that works the register. His kids are there. Nobody touches that register but him. And, what do you got today? Well, greens and beans. We got olio. We got meatballs. We got chicken parm. Stuffed shell, manicotti, the whole deal, right? They got everything. So I was like, olio just reminds me of my grandfather all the time, because here's a story, and it's funny as hell, and you probably got a million of these. When we were kids, my grandfather lived – they all came from the north end of Boston. There was – I think there was 13 in his family. He was one of the oldest, and when his father died in his 30s, he had to pretty much take over. So we all know that, and they lived in, you know, a pretty shit part of town, obviously. Like everywhere, it was tough.
Right.
And that was always his favorite. Well, he ended up moving here. He got a little older, and my father brought him over, and, you know, he lived near us and blah, blah, blah. So usually every Friday we'd go out and eat at an Italian restaurant. If I was around, they'd take me. I used to love it. But Sundays usually we always had macaroni or whatever we were going to have. And, you know, my mother would make him the olio, and we used to die because he'd have the red flakes, okay? So you gotta kind of envision this. So here's my grandfather at one head of the table, and, of course, my dad's at the other. He'd have the hot shaker of hot pepper on his left hand, on his left side. No, on his right side. Of course, nice folded napkin on his left with all the utensils. And my mom bring it out to him. Of course, everybody would say grace. And I was just waiting because we used to crack up, you know. He'd start sprinkling the hot flakes all over the olio. Yeah. And he'd have his handkerchief out now.
Yeah.
And start eating it. And the next thing you know, we could see the friggin' sweat on his forehead, right? He'd be wiping it and putting it down and still shaking on. And we laugh. We talk about that at Christmas. Yeah. That's the stuff, Carmen, I'm talking about. It's like you can't – you know what I always say to my mother, and I'll say this to you, and then we can talk about that quickly. But you don't see the characters now. No. Like I'm looking at people in my family and my friends some of these guys and girls were real characters, and you liked being around them. Yeah. It was just something. They were energizing.
They were,
you know what I mean?
Funny as hell, you know? And, and of course, my father called those old guys, he called them Mustache Pete's, you know? Because you know, they'd sit around with my granddad, and, you know, they'd have that little teeny tiny glass of homemade wine, some hard cheese, and they're sitting there busting nuts like professionals, you know? And you walk into that, and you just get filleted because you're out of your league. You're totally out of your league.
Yep, absolutely. They cut you up, slice you up, and throw you out in the road, man.
That's right.
Hey, I'll tell you what. When we used to go over to Boston to see my grandfather, it was hilarious. He used to make the jug wine. He'd have a big glass jug, and he used to have it in his closet. Mm-hmm. And he'd always say to my father like this. As soon as my father wouldn't even be sitting down yet, he'd say, Jim, get the jug.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We used to, and they'd be sitting there eating the provolone, and, you know, it was the funniest thing. Like you said, when you eat Italian meal, you know, you're not going to eat for 3 days after that. You know, all the guys would be unloosening their belt.
Right.
You know, they'd be playing cards out in the back. I'm sure now the world today would be like, oh, what a bunch of degenerates and this and that. I got news for you, man. The men and women then, they would protect you with their life,
right,
and they'd give you anything. And I enjoyed, you know what that was? That was real culture. That wasn't some bullshit they're teaching you that, you know, this, and this, and most of it is all garbage. It's like you got to see people that did something in their life. They've been places, you know, whether they liked it or not. But the nicest thing was, no matter what was going on, the family was always tight.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? Go ahead.
I told my son when he was coming up.
Yep.
He's 29 now, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, your last resort, you're going to run across people, you're going to have friends with people you think are your friends. I said, but when it comes time for the nut cutting, you can always rely on family.
Yes,
sir. I said, if I ever let you down, I need you to tell me straight to my face, you know? I mean, because it's your blood. How can you turn on them, you know?
Hey, as my chiropractor said, may you rest in peace, John Ridge, who was a fine, fine man and really pushed me to do all this stuff. He used to say to me, and I wish I could do his New Hampshire accent, but he always said to me, you're very lucky if you have one true friend in your whole life.
Exactly.
And he used to remind me of that all the time. He was like a Bill Hinburn to me in a lot of ways. You know, a guy that would have been my father's age, that was quite a mentor to me. You're 70 years old. I mean, if I lived near you, I'd be probably stopping by all the time.
Well, you'd be expected on Saturdays for deadlifts. I can guarantee you that.
Okay, I'd be there for you too. But you know what? You know what the greatest thing is? It's like I never had to second guess myself to say anything to them. Right. It's not like I'm hiding anything, but yeah. When you're talking about your business or what's on your soul or your mind, I think that's from growing up in an Italian family too. I've always kind of been a guarded kind of guy. Very protective of those around me, but very guarded with my tongue.
Yep.
Because betrayal is a thing that I can't deal with. I mean, we've seen what happened when you screwed with Michael Corleone, right?
There you go.
I kind of got that.
You just don't do, you know?
Yeah, I just kind of got that mentality. That's nothing I was taught. It was just maybe that's the Italian. That's why I always say, like, you know, one thing I know for sure, I've got olive oil running through my veins. So
well,
be careful.
I got to share something with you, and I'm not saying this to bring accolades to myself. I've got a young fellow that's coming over here. He's 2 years younger than my son. He was in high school with my boy. He was in the band with him. And he went off to college. And while he was in college, this kid's dad died unexpectedly at early age, like 50. Okay?
Yep.
And so he'd been lifting with me since he was a ninth grader.
Yep.
And of course, we went to the funeral, and we walk in, and he's in the lobby area with his mom, and I went, and his older brother, who trains with me too, and I walked up to him, and I put my arm on his shoulder, and I said, "Daniel, I am so sorry." And I said, "All I can tell you is that I'm here for you. If I got breath in me, I'm here for you because you're one of mine."
Yep.
And his mom, he went off to somewhere else, and his mom hugged me, and she said, "I need you to look out for him." And I said, "Semper Fi, always faithful." A couple of months ago, she put something up on Facebook about how tough it was when she first found herself a widow, because they'd been together 25 years, you know.
Yeah.
And boom, all of a sudden. And I come and I told her, I said, "Patty, you're one of the strongest people I've known ever. And I've known some physical specimens," I said, "but your courage in all is amazing." And she came back and she said, "Well, thank you." And she said, "All I can tell you is that when Doug died, I asked you and four other guys to look out for Daniel and Charlie's welfare." And she said, "You're the only effing one that did that." And I said, "I told you I would."
Yeah.
What good are you if you don't back up your word?
Yeah. If you can't follow through.
Don't say it.
All right.
Don't say
right.
it.
Right. You know, I've met, you know, when you hit upon a couple words there. We in the physical world all portray ourselves as pretty tough. And most of them are tough. But you know what? If you don't have the brain to go with it and you have all the other physical resources, you and I both know down the road they're going to run dry too. And what are you going to fall back on when you don't have the mental capacity to do whatever you need to do and get it done? And this is where I think, especially in the world of weightlifting, goes, there's a lot of people with talent. I mean, I've seen it with football players. I've seen it with friends of mine. They can only go so far, and then suddenly they get their head smashed in, and they've got nothing left. It's totally defeated them. There's no coming back, and it's like, what would you do in this situation? I'm like, well, what I would do in this situation is I'd figure the situation out. If you want to do it, you got to remedy it and go after it even harder. Well, you know what it is, I think? You know, I've always said this. I'd rather have somebody with a little bit of mediocre or better ability, but they know how to think on their feet all the time. They're a leader out wherever they are, a field, business, weightlifting, you know, competitions, whatever, than have somebody that's so gifted that once they run out of the accolades and whatever else they're doing at the time, they can't do anything for you anymore. You know what I mean? Carmen, they're done.
I have seen people that I've told a guy, he no longer trains with me because I just ran his ass off because this guy had so much natural talent, so much. And I told him, I said, "Man, if I had the third of what you have now, I'd have never started lifting."
Yeah.
And I hate to see talent being wasted. You know, I think I'd much rather work with a kid, like you just said, that comes in kind of mediocre talent but has got drive. Yep. And they will stay with it, and they will improve, and they will wind up eventually being better than the guy who was blessed with natural talent because it came too easy for him. And he said, well, why should I work? Why should I bother? It's here. I don't need to work for it. And I think that's part of the problem in this country, too, is that we have gotten it so easy. We have got all the toys that you can imagine. Like you just said, iPhones, iPads, computers, you name it, you know. Yep. Why make an effort? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, ambition's a big thing. And I also think, too, you know, I just feel that you got to build that momentum. Once you've got momentum built, then you're relentless. And that's how I feel right now with the business and everything. I have just turned the corner so much mentally that, you know, I can be tired as hell here and still get it done. Like when we get done today, I've got another pod. I'm going to have to work tonight because I'm behind and it has to get done because Friday is podcast again, other work. And then Saturday, you know, I kind of get engulfed because, you know, Alex will be here in the morning.
Right.
And then we're usually doing something that afternoon. And next weekend, when he gets that 300 pound deadlift, he's going to get his first chance to be on Motivation and Muscle because I'm going to interview him. And, you know, Carmen, this is what I can tell you. And then we're going to have to wind it up here, but, this is such life-changing things that he's going through, I'm going through, everybody's going through, and to think that who would ever think, and I'm not boasting because it's me either, but who would ever think that here's a kid that never touched a deadlift in his life is going to pull a 300-pound deadlift, okay, first off, and second of all, he's going to be on a radio show that is growing in leaps and bounds and get a chance to speak his mind, man. How many people get to do that in their life? And I just think it's spectacular. You know, you got to look at it from every angle. There is no loss anywhere. It's win-win. How many things can you do in your life all the time that's just win-win-win? I mean, he's got it here. He has got, you know, if I didn't know his father since I was a little kid, I never would have taken him on. I don't have the time, and I don't want to be bothered, you know, starting all over again. But when you find somebody that's got a little bit of that magic in them, and you know that they're going to stick with it, because his father's funny as hell, said to me, you know, when I got to get him up, you know, you got to go in again and again. He goes, if I say we're going to Eric's today, he said he's up and right out of bed. So that makes me feel very good that I've been that much.
Same
of a,
thing. Yeah. This yep. lady has told me about her daughter.
That's awesome.
She's a eighth grader, you know. I mean, she's typical. Yeah. And she said, if you don't get your butt out of bed, we can't go deadlift Saturday. And she's up in a heartbeat. And I said, I love that. You know, I mean, she has been bitten hard by the iron. And she'll probably stay with it for the rest of her life.
Go ahead.
It's just cool, you know. It's hard to explain to people who don't do it, but it's just cool.
Yeah, but you know it is, Carmen. If you get the ones that don't understand it, come in and do it. If they really are interested, they're gonna be scratching their head because after like the second or third workout, they're gonna be on your front door.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and see, this is what I, you know, and I know you feel the same way. This is what I'm trying to convey through this show is look. Let's get everybody in under the tent here in the family and let's do it, man. Because it's like. Don't wait around for somebody to tell you to do this, that, and the other thing. Don't wait around if you think the world's burning down around you. Do something, man. I always say, like at the end of the show, don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by you. It's no fun. Believe me.
Right.
So go out and be a contributor. You know, not someone that just is going to say, give me, give me, give me. And that's one thing about weightlifting. It teaches you self-sufficiency. It teaches you that. I'm not laying down for anybody. Yeah, maybe you busted me in the jaw, but I'm still looking up, and that means I can get up. You know, that's where it all is. That's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah.
If summarize anything you want, if there's any information you want to give out about the club or any event you're going in, then I'll give mine. And if you would just stay on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Just like I said at the start, I appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, I just – don't feel qualified to be on here, but I think my main qualification is I'm an old guy who stayed with something for a long time. I've had a modicum of success and I'm eternally grateful for that. But if you want to do anything, make a plan and work the plan. That's how you accomplish anything. And that's what I still do, and that's what I teach these people to do. Decide what your goal is going to be, and then we can formulate a plan, and then we'll figure out how to work that plan. And if you work it, you will achieve your goal. And that's life. That's got me through life. That got me through boot camp, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, Carmen, the thing is, you bring to this show not only experience, you bring wisdom. See, I'm hearing you on the other side. So, you know, the people are getting the same thing when I put these podcasts up. It's like, you know, when we're talking about the Italian family, we're talking about traditions, when we're talking about you meeting all your goals in November, when we're talking about, you know, mentors, these are things that resonate in people. People don't need to hear you say, well, I squatted 1,000 pounds. Well, I benched 900. Well, you know, that's all great, right? But if you can't take the rubber and put it to the road where it's got to go and convey the story, convey the training, convey the mental hardships, convey how much you love it, I don't care what you can do. It doesn't matter to me, because what we are, like I said before, is authentic. You're authentic. You're the real piece. And the thing is, look what you've done with people. That's more than most people ever do in 10 lives. Most people are selfish, Carmen. Let's face it.
Thank you.
They are. You know, but there's a lot of good people like you and I and the people invested in this show. And there's many out there that we're going to bring in and everything. I'm telling you right now, we will be the one. And I promise that, because it is so important to me. Like I always say, I don't care. You don't have to lift a 450-pound rock. I don't care if you lift a 100-pounder. You still have something to contribute, and that's what happens with people. They get pushed aside. Nobody gives a shit about what they think. I might not agree with you, but you're always going to have a forum here where we'll talk about it. It's very important. People need to know that they have greatness in them, and as long as you travel with me or this show, you're going to hear that all the time. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but anything else you got to add, be my guest, and then we'll wrap
briefly on what I was going to finish off with. I tell these folks when they come in, I said, look, there's always going to be somebody stronger than you. You're always going to be stronger than somebody else. But the minute you come in this room and start working out and achieving your goals, you're a champion. I don't care if you lift a 1,000-pound bench press or squat a grand. Just because you're working your plan and you're not missing workouts, you're a champion. And take that and build on that, because that transfers over to school. It transfers over to work. It transfers over to relationships. You know, that builds that inner confidence that you, okay, I've done this. Why can't I go and do this? I know I can do the other thing. I'm just as capable now, more so. So I should, there's no reason I shouldn't accomplish this goal.
I totally agree.
So, but thank you for having me. And I probably
anytime,
I probably ran off at the mouth more than I have in the past, but we touched on a couple of things that, and I will say this too, preparing for this last meet was death, because my old body just did not want to respond. And sometimes you just got to say, suck it up, old guy, and do it.
Absolutely. You did it though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're preaching here, you practice, and that's the biggest thing. And you're always welcome on the show, Carmen.
I look forward to another opportunity.
Well, you will have one very soon. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, Sorenx.com, we're HeartsCollision.com, and don't forget the Winner's Circle, Strength Times Power Equals Success, and obviously the free ebook, The Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. It's all on Fiorello Barbell Co. You heard what we were talking about today. It's the same mentality in everything I put out. Anything I'm putting out for sale, I have done. There's nobody walking in there. You're not going to see paid models, anything like that. You're going to see a real gritty bunch of guys that are out in a rough-ass backyard. You know, the whole deal, if you like to train like that, if you like that philosophy, it's going to get you big places. If you're in this little safe, warm environment, you might prosper, but I would say if you come out and it's 20 below here, you're either going to cut and run or you're going to stay with it. That's what it's all about. When you can develop those things, like Carmen just said, your relationships flourish, your work flourishes, your training. Just think about, don't you want that? I mean, wouldn't it be great to wake up every day and just say, what am I going to accomplish today? Think about that. So Also, too, sponsorships big here, motivationmuscle.com. As I said, we're running a special, $100 a month for December and January. $30 goes to muscular dystrophy. I posted a picture of my brother Jim today under Words of Inspiration. Jimmy is always my inspiration. I think about him constantly, and I've always said he is the angel on my right shoulder. Very important. But that $30 can save a life, and that's what we care about. So go out to motivationmuscle.com or FiorelloBarbellCo.com. The form is out there. Fill it out. Self-explanatory. If you need anything, if you'd like to, Carmen and I to do a specific show, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Also, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what everybody's giving us. Like I said, we're going to be around for another 25 years, and we will be 10 million strong. I'm telling you, we are going to be, we right now are on our way to being, I don't know, it could be the biggest landslide you've ever seen in your life, but we're coming, and we're coming guns a-blazing, believe me. Also, too, I already gave the email address out, Fiorello Barbell Company, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation Muscle, that's on Facebook, on Twitter, @FiorelloEric. I already gave our account name out if you'd like Carmen and I to do a specific show or get in touch with me. And I'll leave you with these things, too. If anyone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to talk to them. We already told you what words can do. Words, think about that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to give a smile or a hello to somebody. That might be all they get. Walk around and be an observer like me. Look at all the people with their heads down when they walk. My karate teacher would have broke my neck if I walked like that. We are always told, never, ever walk with your head down. That's a whole nother story. Obviously, get out there tonight if you can. Lift some big iron. Take some stones and turn them into dust. Like our brand new Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says, in blood red on both sides, domination. We are domination. Like I said, 10 million strong of us, all in the Fiorello family. Come on in. And next, no one will ever emasculate us. I'm telling you right now, we are testosterone. And as our good friend Russell Furr says, who's on here Saturday morning with me, when I listen to your shows, I swear to God, there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. As I've said a million times, that was one of the nicest things anybody's ever said to me, because now we're getting through. It's a great feeling. Carmen, thanks again for being on the show, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate the honor.
Anytime. It's my honor to have you on, believe me. So, for Carmen Caputo, this is Eric Fiorello. We will have Carmen on. I don't know if it'll be January or February. We're going to look things over, see what his schedule is. But we are going to try to get Carmen on once a month, too. As everybody knows, we are growing like exponentially with people. And I'm trying to accommodate everybody. And I wasn't going to do 7 days a week, but it looks like we're 7 days a week till the end of April for sure. So that's okay. I love it that much. So, everybody get out there. Like I said, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road. And Carmen and I will talk to you very soon. Have a great week and go out and do something magnificent. Thanks, everybody. And tell a friend. We appreciate.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.